This morning's responsive reading was taken from Proverbs chapter 21, verses 16 to 31. So, if you would like to join us, open your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 21, verses 16 to 31. Look at verse 27. I think verse 27 kind of tops everything that we've read here this morning. Notice what application we can make. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Beloved, think of all the false religions that are out there that require all of their parishioners, and I'm also including Christian cults or things that would call themselves Christian, or they fall under the umbrella of Christianity in a broad stroke. But when you look at what's being preached and then you look on what's being practiced on the inside, they're far from being any reflection of biblical Christianity. But it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Think about abortion. Is that not a sacrifice? We're sacrificing a child's life for whatever reason. You know, there's only a very tiny, tiny, I mean, not even a part of a percentile due to rape or due to incest. The overwhelming majority of abortions that are committed is elective. The boyfriend, the girlfriend, or the couple simply decide they don't want the child. They've had their 18 minutes of fun, but now they don't want to pay the price of raising this child for the next 18 years. So 18 minutes of pleasure would normally result in probably 18 years of being accountable and responsible for another life, and they don't want to deal with that. So what do? We made it very expedient. Sacrifice the child. So the sacrifice of the abortionist and those who go to the abortion clinic is an abomination. But that's not all that's there. How much more? Well, what are we talking about? How much more the sacrifice of the wicked, when it bringeth it with a very wicked, evil mind? You know what we're talking about here in verse 27? Worldviews. How you think eventually is demonstrated in how you act and what you say. Remember Jesus' words in Mark chapter 7, where he says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. And remember, that's in the context of him and his disciples walking through the grain field, rubbing the grain, but they ate with unwashing hands. So they were violating two stipulations that the Pharisees came up over decades of interpretation. Number one, they were breaking the Sabbath because by rubbing the grain in their hands, they were causing friction. Friction leads to heat. Heat is a form of cooking. And the other one, and I find this amazing, Jesus did most of his miracles on purpose on the Sabbath day to drive the religious leaders up a wall. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, because eventually it's going to come out the other end. He says what comes out of the heart defiles men. And he lists evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, witchcraft, emulation, etc. Verse 27, beloved, is telling us about worldviews. And there's only two. There's only two basic worldviews that's on the table this morning. A worldview that includes God and His Word and everything that God stands for as He's revealed in Scripture alone. And then you got the anti-God worldview, which right now is quite prevalent, if you haven't noticed. Matter of fact, that worldview has literally come out of the closet during the administration of Mr. Biden. All this transgender, all this LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z to the third power, the rainbow, Pride Month, and all of that nasty stupidity. So when I say that, go back. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. So all these people are out there sacrificing their souls to peddle an ideology that makes no sense and doesn't answer to reality in and of itself. We know that God made us male and female. All you got to do is stand in a mirror after taking a shower. All you got to do is go to a biology book and the sets of chromosomes, boy versus girl, that's it. Everything else is an imagination. It's an imagination world. It's a world that doesn't exist. But it's a world that's being crammed down our throats. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. That in and of itself is bad enough. But the proverb writer says this, however, if that sacrifice of the wicked comes, or it's brought to you and I by a very fallen, darkened, depraved mind, beloved, that worldview becomes sinister, tyrannical, dictatorial, murderous, devilish, demonic. And beloved, unfortunately, that's on the table right now. Now that's the bad news. Okay, what about the good news? Well, look at verse 30. Verse 30 is the good news. There is no wisdom nor understanding, which we just got done reading about in that verse 27, that opposite worldview. There is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. So this is the good news. See, this is the good news, and so there's hope. Okay? Yes, darkness is all around us. It's been there since Genesis chapter 3. Evil is all around us ever since Lucifer caught a glimpse of himself in a mirror and got puffed up with pride and arrogancy and wanted to be like the Most High God and did his rebellion. We've had demonic sacrifices to all kinds of gods and goddesses and devils that have damned a host of people. But notice, it says here, the counsel, God's counsel. Well, what is one aspect of God's counsel? What about the good news, the gospel? See, the gospel can penetrate the darkness of that verse 27. A very well-known Southern California minister has already here, just within days, been interviewed and probably preached a message entitled, "There Is No Hope." So according to this man's gospel, there is no good news. Apparently evil is going to win out in the end, you know, and God has to come and rescue a handful of his believers before everything totally goes apostate, and then have all hell break loose for 7 years. When you tell Christians that there's no hope left, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to retreat to their four-wall church. They're not going to get involved in evangelism. They're not going to get involved in missions. They're not going to get involved in witnessing and sharing the gospel with friend and foe or neighbor alike. When you tell a bunch of Christians who don't know their Bibles the way they ought to that there is no hope, well, then it seems like you're fulfilling your own prophecy. You're making it come true. You're creating an environment where Christians sit on their blessed assurance and basically do nothing but wait for a secret rapture. And so, part of the worldview that is so nasty that's spoken about here in verse 27 is not totally the fault of the devil or his demons. It's not totally the fault of the LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z to the third power. Most of it is due in part to churches who have surrendered their responsibility to the culture. They have surrendered their duty to be the conscience of a nation. Now, we're not going to change people. We can't change anyone. But when you give a message that there is no hope left but utter doom and destruction, you kill any motivation for God's people to go out there and fight a good fight. Well, may God have mercy upon us. And may he have mercy upon these leaders, these evangelical conservative leaders, who are doing everything in their power to let evil reign. And when they do confront it, they have to confront it where their little church is at to protect that little kingdom of theirs. But I don't see these individuals leaving their pulpits and barnstorming across this nation in an attempt to wake up people. They're just telling us there's no hope. Let it crash and burn. Well, I don't think we find that theology in Scripture. Especially those who have come before us with the great missionary movements of the 18th, 19th, and earlier 20th century. They went out there and tried to evangelize parts of the world that never heard the name of Jesus and translate the Bible into another language that didn't even have a Bible in their possession. A self-fulfilling prophecy at the hands of those who claim to be God's servants. That's just as wicked as having the opposite worldview of the Bible. Well, may God choose to bless His word. Amen.